Okay, so it's good to see the other one back and see people here with us also. So we're starting the Shar Shlishi of Nefesh HaChaim. Now, if you've been following along the Sefer Nefesh HaChaim, the purpose of the Sefer is to give us an understanding how the world works and how what's our function in the world. What's our function in the world, legabe tefillah, what's our function in the world, legabe Torah, what's our function in the world, legabe all of our avodah, how we're tzelem elokim, we're part of the process of creation. And that we, the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu interacts with the world is really dependent on how much or how little we respond to the tzivuim that we have. And it's a very low, even though it's a very Kabbalistic, distant esoteric sefer, but it ends up being very practical in a person's havana of lamaisa. This chapter, the Shar Shlishi, is the most Kabbalistic. It's the least understood, and it's also maybe the least practical, but it doesn't mean it's the least fundamental. It could be the most fundamental, but it's the least practical in the Avoda. It's at the end of this chapter, a person walks away, if they learned it properly, with a totally new perspective of bitachon, a new perspective of how to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu's role in the world. And it's kind of like the opposite of the rest of the Sefer, because it doesn't really talk about what we have to do with it. It has to do with much more with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's role in the world. Okay? Now, it could be possible that some of you have heard of the big controversy between, and the way it's said over in the world, in the Welt, is that there's this big controversy and machloikis between the Chassidim and the Misnagdim about Tzimtzum. This is one of the big issues, Tzimtzum. Okay, and then the conversation goes on to something else. But everyone knows there was a machloikis between the Chassidim and Misnagdim about Tzimtzum. Kipshutai, Tzimtzum, Kipshutai, Tzimtzum, not Kipshutai. So what we'll do is like this. I don't know if in 15 minutes we can really cover that topic, right now. But I want to give you a little introduction. You don't have to continue it for a day or two, just to understand a little bit the issue, and then we'll see diffuse the myth that there was any sort of machloikis between Chassidim and the Misnagdim. Okay, about this issue. The issue is based on the following question, which is that Arizal poses the question, which is that if before Kadosh Baruch Hu, before we started laying Sefer Bereishis, right, before Hashem created the world, so there was nothing in the world other than Elokus, other than what's called the Or Ein Sof, the Or Ein Sof, the light of Kav Yochol, Kadosh Baruch Hu himself. And by definition, Ein Sof is unlimited, right? It's completely, incorporates everything. Now, there is no room for anything else to exist when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only existence that's there. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in the world, so then there's no room for a world because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the world. And so therefore, how did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create the world? Right? You can't create outside yourself if everywhere that you are, there's no room. So what the Arizal says is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was tzimtzim es oira, he was mitzamtzim himself, which could mean contracted himself, pulled himself out in order to make a halal ponui, in order to make a vacated area and make a place that was vacant of Elokus. And in that place that was quote unquote vacant of Kutchabricha of the R, that's where he created the world. Okay, now, though that's more or less what the Arizal says. Okay, and from there, it sprung a big machlokes. What does that mean exactly? So some say it means tzimtzum kipshutai. Some say it means tzimtzum shaloi kipshutai. So tzimtzum kipshutai could mean the Kadosh Baruch Hu pulled himself out of the world and created the world in the makam of the challah. But what that would mean is that really the whole world only exists when you're as much as you're disconnected from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, but in your connection to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, there's no room for a world, right? If a person in the Metzias of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, there's no room for the world. There's no room for Toiv and Ra. There's no room for good and evil. There's no room for anything other than Him. And we'll see the significance of this in a moment. And some people said that if you understand things that way, it's kafir. I mean, there's a place that the Kadosh Baruch Hu does not exist. How could a Kadosh Baruch Hu not exist there? You can't say that Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't exist there. So therefore, really, and according to this, obviously, even according to Tim Tzvokimshutri, obviously there's Hashkacha Protis. Obviously, Kadosh Baruch Hu is Mashkiach from Mibachutz. But of course, Hashkacha Protis, he still controls everything. That's not the issue. The issue is the computer screen that I'm looking at right now, right? Is that have a lakus in it? So if there's room for the screen, that means in that place there's no lakus. But that's the Ratzon Hashem to have the world that way. Tzimtzum shelo kipshutai means no, of course everything's a lakus. But Hashkacha Baruch Hu, tzimtzum in this case does not mean contractment, it means concealment. It doesn't mean that Hashem pulled himself back from that spot. It means Hashem hid himself in a way to allow for there to be a mirage of a world which is Ponoi Minei. But really, like the Zohar says, Leis Asar the Ponoi Minei. There is no place that it was really divorced and empty of Elokus. Okay? This is the Tzimtzum Shaloi Kipshuta. Okay? Now, what seems to be, you know, a story is that the Vilna Gaon held Tzimtzum Kipshutai, and the Bala Tanya, in the Shar Beis of the Sefer Tanya, Shar Yichud Ve'emuna, there the Tanya says, no, Tzimtzum means Shaloi Kipshutai, and of course the whole world is entirely a Metzias of Elokus. Now, Lemaisa, if you, when we're done Shar Shlishi of Rav Chaim Volozhiner, we will see that Rav Chaim Volozhiner is word for word the same as the Tanya. The Rav Chaim Volozhiner agrees 100% with the Mahalach that's expressed by the Tanya. They use very, I didn't learn the whole the Tanya, but I from the Sforim that I read on the Nefesh HaChaim, they say that he says very similar Roshonis and very similar Rayas even to the concept. And in this Sefer, this Pirush HaNefesh HaChaim, this entire book, by the way, I bought it, I thought it's a commentary on the Nefesh HaChaim. It's only a commentary on the Shar Shlishi. The entire book is about the Shar Shlishi. So I was waiting to use it till we started this chapter. So over there, he basically goes on to say that he asked the Bali Mesoira of Volozhin, because he learned by Reb David Soloveitchik. And Reb David Soloveitchik told him that Reb Simcha Rieger, who was the Rav of Brisk, who had learned by Reb Chaim Volozhiner in Volozhin, basically, told him the following, that when we're going to learn the Sefer Nefesh HaChaim, it's clear that the reason why Rav Chaim Volozhiner is writing the Sefer is not for the same reason that Tanya wrote the Sefer. He's not actually interested in this topic. Okay? As a matter of fact, he holds that you shouldn't really learn this topic. Like someone says, the main difference between Rav Chaim Volozhiner and the Tanya, if there is any difference between them, is whether this is important or not. It's not what they say. It's how much focus should you be putting on this. Okay, and then the Baal Tanya holds that this is a chiluk of the avodah itself. And Rav Chaim says, you have to know it, but don't over focus on this. The reason he's writing it is clearly because he holds that there's other people that hold the other way, and he wants to come and dispel that myth. Right? So if you're going to come and dispel that myth, so who is he coming to dispel it? So it must be the Chassidim, because we know the whole Sefer Nefesh HaChaim is coming against the Chassidim. But we know that Baal Tanya says exactly the same thing. So who is he coming against? What is going on? So it turns out that there were groups in Europe at that time, there were groups that basically believed in this concept. And what was the concept? This is like the Frankists and these people, Jacob Frank, the followers of Frank and all these people, that basically it was along the line of Shatzei Tzvi, that more or less they held the following mistake, either Rishus or Kfira or whatever. And they basically held that if we could prove that everything is godly, right? So if everything is really Hashem, so really how could it make any sense that there's anything wrong with anything? It really doesn't make any sense. You're going to tell me that you can't learn Torah when you're in the bathroom? The bathroom is godly. So therefore, it's a bizoyan not to learn Torah there, because then that's saying an expression that God doesn't exist here. So it's a mitzvah to learn Torah in the bathroom. Because if you don't, then you're saying that God doesn't exist there. If a person does not doesn't eat chazir, so he's saying that there's evil in the chazir, and therefore he's divorcing God from that piece of meat, and it's also to do that. And that's why loss of lavo, it says that the chazir will become kosher meat. Is there, right? So therefore, if you're really godly enough now, you really should be eating chazir now. And as a matter of fact, so then I started reading about these people's hashkafa, like what did they really do? They held that the greatest darga someone can reach is based on the amount of averis they can do. Because that means that you now have shown that all the boundaries that are for the people that don't understand God in those places, I've already come to the point that I see God even there. Okay? So, this is shot in Mokum Shabali Tshuva, Oimdim, Ein Tzadikim Gurum Yechon Lamud Boy, because forget the fact that he did Tshuva. He's a bigger tzaddik because he did Averis, not because he did Tshuva. That's Pshat in the Chazal, according to these people. So they were totally off, obviously, to the point of murder and, you know, crazy stuff, okay? Because any boundary, according to their understanding, was a stira to seeing God over there. So this is the conflict. On the one hand, we have to understand that Hashem is everywhere. But on the other hand, we have to understand that Hashem is not everywhere, because our avodah is mechayev us to see that God doesn't want us to see him everywhere. So this is the struggle, right? This is the stira. So and it's very delicate, because you say too much of one way, it's karav kfira, right? So if Hashem doesn't exist in a place where he's supposed to, so now you're taking Hashem out of the world. But if he does exist in a place he's not supposed to, then you could be kfir against the Shulchan Aruch. So now this is what the Nefesh HaChaim is coming to address. So it turns out that what he's coming to address is not the mistake made by the Tanya, not the mistake made by the Gedolei Olam of the Chassidus. It's made by the fools that made these mistakes and tried to create Kedusha Kaviyachol in a place that it's not supposed to exist. That's really who he's coming to Lafuke in the Sefer.
How he fits here in this Malach of the word? Shar Aleph, Shar Beis, Shar Yimot.
Because it's going to shape a little bit of the person's avoda in how, I'm not sure. I have to think about that.
Which group holds that it's a contraction? Which group holds that it's a concealment?
No. So what do you mean within the
the misnag?
Right. So I'm saying what the people say over what's said in the world is the following. Is that the Vilna Gaon held Tzimtzum Kipshutai, and the Balatanya held Tzimtzum not Kipshutai. In other words, Tzimtzum Kipshutai means that Hashem literally was contraction, pulled himself away from the world. The Chassidim hold, no, Tzimtzum is not Kipshutai. Tzimtzum does not mean Hashem contracted himself out of the world. Rather, it means concealment. Hashem's hiding in the world, but he's still everywhere. The Chassidim see godliness in everything. Supposedly, they say that the Vilna Gaon argued on that. Now, thank you for bringing me back to full circle. it's impossible to really say that, because once you finish Nefesh HaChaim, you see the Nefesh HaChaim agrees with everything that it says in the Tanya. Now, this sefer that's written on Nefesh HaChaim says that once Nefesh HaChaim was printed, the Tanya learned the Nefesh HaChaim, and he wrote a sefer based on Nefesh HaChaim. And Lubavitch says is that the Tanya was printed before the Nefesh HaChaim, even though the Nefesh HaChaim was taught before the Tanya, but it wasn't printed until after the Tanya. So they say that Reb Chaim Volozhiner was taught from the Vilna Gaon, Tzimtzum Kipshutai, but then when he read the Tanya, he decided to argue on his Rebbe and wrote the Nefesh HaChaim Shar Shlish. Now, anyone that knows anything about Chaim Volozhiner knows that he didn't argue on this such a fundamental concept in Yiddishkeit. He's not going to argue with the Vilna Gaon because he read another sefer. It doesn't make any sense, right? So obviously, the Gaon doesn't mean that either. The Vilna Gaon doesn't mean that either. And Nefesh HaChaim, probably why he was so emphatic that it should be written after his death, was for this chapter itself, to address this exact issue. And I guess there was a movement that was taking this whole Tzimtzum concept out of hand, you know, and they were trying to see, you know, Hashem everywhere. And like I said, that can lead to major mistakes. And therefore, you know, that's why. But the bottom line is that that's what the Velt says, is that the Chassidim see godliness everywhere, and the Vilna Gaon held that Hashem pulled back. But once you learn the sefer, you see that's not the case. Everyone agrees 100%. And to this concept. Now, how do you learn the balance? What?
They agree in what?
That the Tzimtzum is not Kipshuton. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not contract himself from the world, didn't create a Chalal Panri. He didn't create a void. That's emptiness of godliness.
He just concealed.
But now, what the topic of the Sefer is going to be, of this Shar Shlishi, is, so what is it? So we're supposed to see Hashem, but if Hashem is there, so then these other people have a good kasha. So why can't you learn in the bathroom? Right? So that's going to be the question. That's really the respect for the guidelines is part of the Nefesh HaChaim, is that we're supposed to do what we're supposed to do. Even though we're accomplishing, through doing what we're doing, we're accomplishing tremendously holy things. So respecting the guidelines is not just following the rules. That's an avoida in and of itself. Right? So that it really does fit in with the Nefesh HaChaim, you know. So we will continue tomorrow. There's a little brief introduction into what is the topic of the Shaar Shlishi. I think it's very important. And, you know, we'll pick it up in Mitzvah Shem tomorrow. We'll try to get a little bit better Havana as we continue into Shaar Shlishi, okay?
Thank you, Rabbi. Okay. Good night.
Good night. Good to see everyone back. Okay, we'll see you.
Okay, have a good night. Take care.
Good night, coach. We'll see you.